Thank you for that introduction, Clint. My name is Mike Leach. I'm the head coach at Mississippi State. No, I'm just messing. My name is Jacob Smith. I'm from Mississippi State University. I'm under Dr. Whitney Crow and Angus Ketchot, and I will be talking to you today, a little change of gears and talking about soybeans. I'll be talking about some previous research done in our lab on the management of red-banded stink bugs in Mississippi soybean productions. So this is a sample that was taken from one of our plots inside Mississippi in 2017. If you recall, 2017 was our last bad red-banded stink bug year. All this seed you see here was damaged by red-banded stink bugs, and fungal pathogens entering the pod rendered all this seed unmarketable. So a little bit of background about the red-banded stink bug. Its Latin name is Piziodorus gildani. It's in the family Pentatomidae. It's a relatively new pest in Mississippi, which I'll get to in just a moment. Its hosts are soybeans and legumes. One legume in particular is the red crimson clover, which we can sample during the springtime as sort of an indicator of what our pest populations might be in that following growing season. Red-banded stink bugs generally have 4 to 8 generations per year. These generations do overlap, so it really adds to their resume of being a really difficult pest to control. Red-banded stink bugs are a tropical insect, meaning that harsh winters do affect them greatly. And we definitely need a cold, harsh winter with prolonged periods of below freezing days to keep this insect from being a problem. So red-banded stink bugs originated in Brazil. They were first described on the St. Vincent Island in the Caribbean. They were first found in the U.S. in the 1960s in South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, and New Mexico. Later, they were found in Louisiana in 2002, and they became a major pest of soybeans grown in the Mid-South in 2009. So how do we identify the red-banded stink bug? Females lay their eggs that are black in color and cylindrical in shape in rows of two. Upon hatching, nymphs have a black head and a red abdomen with black markings on the dorsal side of the abdomen. As the nymphs begin to mature, they get their green stink bug color, as well as on the dorsal side of the abdomen, these black and red alternating bands. And adults have that thick red band across the pronotum. And the key characteristic for red-banded stink bugs is on the ventral side of the abdomen, they have that characteristic spine. This differs from the red-shouldered stink bug. The red-shouldered stink bug does not have the spine. So the thresholds we recommend in Mississippi, before our 6.5 with a sweep net, we recommend 4 red-banded stink bugs per 25 sweeps, and for the drop cloth, 2 per 6 feet of row. As soybeans continue to mature between R6.5 and R7, we suggest with a sweep net 10 red-banded stink bugs per 25 sweeps, and we recommend terminating applications at R7 unless adverse rain conditions promote poor seed quality. In that case, there might be a post R7 application that is needed. These thresholds do differ from our traditional stink bug complex, so our greens, our southern greens, and our brown stink bugs. We are more aggressive in our thresholds for the red-banded stink bug because the aggressive feeding nature that the red-banded stink bug does have. For the traditional stink bugs, we generally terminate applications at R6.5, but we do prolong that threshold to R7 for our red-banded stink bugs. So the objective of this study was to evaluate insecticide performance and thresholds against red-banded stink bugs and soybeans grown in Mississippi. So for the insecticide test, we tested an array of different insecticides to sort of come up with the best products, and we calibrated a Mudmaster sprayer at 10 gallons per acre at 65 PSI with TX6 hollow cone tips. And for the threshold test, we chose acephate at 3/4 pounds, tank mixed with bifenthrin at 6.4 ounces. The reason we chose this is because some of the previous insecticide tests showed that this tank mixture was the best tank mixture we could get at controlling these insects, and we wanted the best control we could get for our threshold test. And data was analyzed in SAS using proteomics procedure with a Fisher's protected LSD at an alpha value of 0.05. So moving right in, for the insecticide efficacy, we had a few different site locations, but I just chose the Canton, Mississippi one because they are reflective of the other site locations. On the left, you have the number of red-banded stink bugs per 25 sweeps, and across the bottom, you have the different insecticides, the Sky Raider, Orethane, the three rates of cobalt, the Orethane plus bifenthrin tank mix, and Admire Pro. All these applications were successful at keeping the numbers below our 4 per 25 threshold, except for the Admire Pro. And the standout was the Orethane at 3/4 pound plus bifenthrin at 6.4 ounces. Even almost 11 days after treatment, it almost zeroed them out. So this is a fun, colorful graph. So just hang in there with me. But this was conducted inside Mississippi in 2017. I should first note that, like I said earlier, the 2017 year was a really bad stink bug year, and these soybeans were planted late, so pressure was immense. This was like the perfect cocktail to get the pressure that we needed. So it was definitely not an issue to have the pest numbers here. The bars are the total number of red-banded stink bugs, and each individual color is the weekly counts of the stink bugs. And for the weekly sprays, they were initiated at R2, and then we altered the thresholds from the original 4 per 25 to the 2 per 25, the 6 per 25, and so on and so forth. For the 2 per 25 sprays, the black numbers that you see running it through the bar are the individual weeks that the applications were made based on when that threshold was met. So the 2 per 25 threshold was sprayed 8 times, and our original 4 per 25 threshold was sprayed 7 times. And the 6, 9, and 12 per 25 threshold was sprayed 7 times, and for the 16 per 25 threshold, it was sprayed twice. So in comparison to the graph I just showed, as we got more lax with our thresholds, soybeans did not dry down properly. We were able to, with our full control, weekly control that was sprayed 10 times, we were able to allow the soybeans to dry down properly, as well as the 2 per 25. But for our threshold of 4 per 25, those soybeans did not dry down properly. So we also did a damaged seed percentage in this trial. This was done by removing 5 plants from each plot and shelling those seed and doing a calculation to come up with damaged seed per plot. Notice the check in 16 per 25, around 90%. This proved to be unharvestable seed, so these plots could not be harvested. And for the weekly, the 2 per 25 and the 4 per 25, although they're not significantly different, I do want to point out that is still very high damage. You would take a hit in a grain elevator for that kind of damage, and this just goes back to it being extremely high pressure late planted soybeans. So we calculated bushels per acre as well. The first thing, like I mentioned earlier, the check in the 16 per 25 sweeps, the number is zero because we did not harvest them. Our weekly protection yielded the best, followed by our 2 per 25 and our 4 per 25, which is our threshold. This kind of suggests that we could be more aggressive in our threshold because our 4 per 25 did not yield very well. But this is a small plot on a very unique year with late planted soybeans. There's an array of information or array of tests that have been done on a larger scale, larger farm scales, so that we're safe with the 4 per 25 threshold. So in conclusion, for the threshold evaluation, Current thresholds required 7 applications under immense pressure with late planted soybeans. And as for the weekly sprays, they yielded higher, but that's not economical. Soybeans did not dry down properly when using the current thresholds of 4 per 25. For the insecticide efficacy, many insecticides worked, but populations rebounded quickly in many of our locations, and tank mixing insecticides like the Orthene and Bifenthrin showed to be the best control we could get. I wanted to finish with this. We definitely need a harsh 2019 and 2020 winter. 2017 was our last bad stink bug year. We had a cold winter. We had a cold winter following that year. So 2018 in Mississippi, we did not have much of an issue in 2018 with red banded stink bugs, but we did have a warm winter, warm 2018-2019 winter. So 2019, we did have to fight them a little bit. The numbers did build. But as of now in Mississippi, we have not had those prolonged periods of cold days. So 2020, we definitely could be looking at another bad stink bug year. We're running out of time. We definitely need the rest of January and February to get down in those cold days so we don't have to fight these pests. And finally, I'd like to thank the Mid-South Entomologist Working Group, as well as the MSU crop team and current and former graduate students, student workers, technicians, and professors. I work with a great group of people. I'm impressed by them daily. They're a great group. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. His question was, why didn't you think the soybeans didn't dry down properly? Well, with their piercing and sucky mouth parts, we're allowing moisture to get in that seed pod. So they stay in there. The heat, the sun can't directly get on them, so on the seed, on the pod, on the seed in the pod, I mean. So they did not dry down properly. Next, did you have another one?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay. You can find me after if you want.
Any other questions for Jacob? All right, thank you.
Thank y'all.